Well, welcome, friends, to the last of our talks in Revelation, entitled Revelation, A Message for Our Troubled Times. And we've seen the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with his church so that they will be an effective witness for him in the world, taking the gospel to the world. But we've seen also that on the whole, anyway, the world rejects the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we think about it, in any generation, there's only about 2 or 3, maybe 5, maybe 10% of the world that responds to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest in those generations reject the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that in the book. And towards the end, that will increase. There will be an increasing disrespect for God and the things of God, and a desire for the things of this world, living just for the things of this world. So we've seen also that God sends down his message in the form of warnings. And if they are not heeded, then he sends down those temporal judgments. And if they are not heeded, then he sends down wrath. But in all those things, men just reject them. Men will not obey the message of the gospel and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. They'd rather have this world and suffer the consequences then turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So finally, God brings in his judgments. And we've seen in the book how terrible those judgments will be. The final judgment upon the world when he takes, when he finishes with this world and winds up this evil world and the whole of the universe and takes us all to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will answer for the lives that we have lived and how we have lived our lives in rejecting God's word and God's laws and rejecting the Saviour, or how we have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, are safe in him forever and all eternity, because he has taken our sin and our punishment upon himself and set us free from that condemnation of the law. But we've seen that. We've seen his victory over all his enemies, and how now he is ruling with his people in heaven and will rule with them for all eternity when he brings in the new heavens and the new earth, where God will dwell with his people in that heavenly place, that heavenly state, for all eternity. Well, what do we have left to see then? Well, nothing, friends. There is nothing left of the prophecy except the last words of the prophecy. And the last words of the prophecy are a message to the whole world that he is coming and that we must be ready for that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to be ready is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ himself. And that message is given over and over again. Look at verse 7. He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then verse 12, he says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And then verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him who hears come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." And verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Do you see that, friends? The whole emphasis of this last message to the world is, I am coming. I am on my way. And therefore, you must be ready. You must prepare yourself. You must have known me as your Saviour, or you will know me as your judge. What would it be for you, friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes today? Which he could do. He could be here today. But which we don't know the time, do we? So, what would it be for you? Will you be ready? Or will you be cast away for all eternity into the fires of hell? It's one or the other, friends. Well, let's look at this message, this wonderful message at the end of this book. And let's, all of us, take note of what Jesus is saying to us here. Verses 6 and 7, he gives us the assurance that this message is true and that he is on his way. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God and the holy prophet sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And so, you see, this message is not the message of angels. Look at verse 9. Then he said, "See that you do not do that." That is, John was about to fall down and worship the angel that gives the message. "For I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God," he says. This is the message of God. The angel is only a messenger, only one who brings that wonderful prophecy from God himself. But the message and the prophecy is from God. It's God's word to the world. And therefore, we need to take note, because he is the one who has given his laws. He is the one whom we have offended with our sins. He is the one who rules this world. He is the creator of the world, and he is the one and the only one who has the right to wind up this world and destroy this world and to judge this world and to judge the people of this world. He is the one who is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all his angels. And his word is yea and amen. It's yea, it is true. There is no error in it, and there is no lie in it. It is amen, because it is absolutely certain and will come to pass as God has said it would. He is the sovereign God of heaven and earth, and none can stay his hand, and none can thwart his will and his purposes, else he would not be God, would he, friends? He is the one true God of heaven and earth. And what does he say? "I am coming quickly." Quickly, friends. Now, you may say, "Well, it's been 2,000 years. Yes, friends, it has been 2,000 years. But let me just tell you, a day is just like 1,000 years to us, but it's, to God, it's nothing. Nothing at all. And 1,000 years is like a day to God, because he is outside of time. He is coming, and he will keep his word. And yes, it's been 2,000 years, but as I've said before, it means it's 2,000 years closer to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and wind up this world. And I think, as you've seen, as we've been going through this book, things are happening in this world and coming about in this world that lead us to believe that that time is near, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will come soon as the world turns away in depravity and sin from him and opposes his gospel as the world is. So he is coming quickly, and therefore we need to repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells us he's coming, and he tells John, but it's not the end just yet. Look at verse 8. He says, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and your brethren of the brethren, your prophet, the prophet, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.'" Now you know, you're not to seal the word of the prophecy of the book, because it's not all not finished yet, but that was 2,000 years ago. But he says also, the time is at hand. It is coming. It is near. 2,000 years have passed. It is near. It is at hand. "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, judgment is coming with God. And at that time, opportunity will be gone. When that time is, the time that is at hand, is here, then there will be no more opportunity. We will be set, and our opportunities will be gone. This is the day of salvation. This is the day when we must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Because when that day is upon us, there will be no opportunity of salvation at all. There will only be judgment for us. So friends, we need to take note and we need to respond to that wonderful gospel now as God is giving us opportunity. And this is the last message to us, friends, and urging us to respond to that message, because the time is at hand and the Alpha and Omega is coming. Look, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He started it all, he's going to finish it all. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And we must respond, because he is going to judge us for the works that we have done in our lives, how we have lived our lives, how we have responded to God's gospel and God's word and God's commandments. Do we know him as our Saviour, Lord and friend? Those are the big questions of life and eternity, friends. And those are the things that will determine our eternal state forever and all eternity. So what is your answer to those questions, friends? Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ at this time? Well, verse 14, he then tells us who will be blessed on that day and who will not be blessed. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. So you see, friends, it's very clear, isn't it? Those who are blessed are those who do the word of God, keep and do the commandments of God. It's not a matter of just living a Christian life. It's being a Christian. We must be born again, says the Spirit of God. We must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. Everyone who believes upon him will have everlasting life, the scriptures tell us. But we must believe and trust in him, and we must follow after him and live our lives for him. Because if we don't, then we will perish. And outside of his kingdom, outside of his blessing on that day, will be all those who have not done what he has commanded and have willfully and sinfully broken all his laws and continued in their life of rebellion against him. They are those people who are dogs. They are not his blessed. They are those who are to be driven away from him. They are sorcerers, those who have lived their lives for the things of this world and the enchantments of the world. They have cast away the things of God. They haven't listened to the word of God, who is against all sorcery. Those who seek to contact the dead and to live by the things of the devil. None of that in heaven. Those who are sexually immoral, those who have lived practicing fornication or adultery or some other form of perversion and sin in this world, homosexuality or whatever else it might be, whatever form it takes, it's against God's word and therefore no place in heaven. But if murderers, again, those people not only who have murdered people physically, but have murdered them in their hearts and in their minds, and have murdered them in various ways, destroying their credibility, destroying them as people in the eyes of other people. Whatever we have done in those to break God's laws, it's here. Idolatry, that's living for anything other than God. Living for the things of the world. Living for other gods. Worshipping other religions. And whoever loves and practices a lie. We're all here, aren't we, friends? All who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. The only ones that are saved are then who have then listened to God's word and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and been forgiven those sins and been brought into the kingdom of God. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He is God in heaven. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords who rules over his kingdom and over this world. He is the one who sets the terms of who comes into his kingdom. And it's only through him. You have to believe upon him. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. You must come through Jesus Christ. And you must either know him now as your God and as your King of your life, your Saviour who has saved you and redeemed you, or you will know him as your judge, because he has the right to judge this world and bring this world to an end. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. All those who hear the gospel and respond to the gospel, their delight is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they long for his coming. And they long for the end of this wicked and sinful world. And let him who thirsts come. What a gracious invitation that is. Anybody who thirsts for salvation, the forgiveness of their sins, a new life, and that wonderful inheritance in heaven, let them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let them find new life in him, eternal life in him, in the spring of living water. Let him take of the waters of life freely. That water is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Well, have you drunk of him then, friends, and drunk of his wonderful salvation? Do you know it flowing through you? You are a saved, a redeemed soul. Then you are truly blessed. And you have that place in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. No matter what happens in this world, you are safe in him. And on that day when he finishes this world, he will come for you, his people, and take you to be with him for all eternity. But if you don't know him, now's the time to come. Respond to this wonderful invitation of our God and our Saviour. Come to him and be saved. Well, this is a vital message for us all, isn't it? Listen to these last words. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you see what's being said there? The message of this book is so important to the world and to you. It is so vitally important that this is the only book that ends with this sort of blessing, this curse upon those who tamper with it in any way. The dire consequences that will come down upon them if they deny this message to the world by tampering with it. That's how important it is. God wants it to go out to the world. God wants you to hear it. Because the message of this book is the message of life, or it's the message of death. It's the message of salvation, or it's the message of destruction. It's the message of heaven, or it's the message of hell. It's that message that would define us in this world as God's people or God's enemies, and decide upon our eternal future in heaven, the blessings of heaven with him, or in hell, the curses of hell upon us for all eternity. So what will it be? What will it be, friends? Surely, he says, I am coming quickly. Can you say amen to that? Come, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Can you? Well, then the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. If you cannot, friends, then come to him. Seek him while you have the opportunity, while there is time. Seek him urgently and earnestly until you know him as your Saviour and you are safe in him. But do not wait and do not dally, for he is coming. Well, thank you for listening, friends. And if you want to hear more, then please do tune in to Uxbridge Road Tabernacle and listen to the messages there. There will be further messages there on this subject and on other subjects. And may they all be a blessing to you.